Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back 5 minutes into hour three on this Friday weekend preview, and one stake that I have not yet mentioned today, and in fact, with Dave Grenick joining, it's a perfect time to mention that the Mr. Prospector tomorrow at Monmouth, and it's actually quite good. It's got a number of familiar names and some old favorites, including Golden Brown, the best Jersey bred of recent vintage. Golden Brown is up to $750,000 in earnings for Pat McBurney. You've also got Greeley and Ben, who has been a horse that we've followed while under the care of Broberg, and actually got poached in his last start at Oaklawn for 62.5, and ends up with Bella Blue Racing and turns up in here, the 8-year-old. And he's actually 7-2, drafted in here for Dave Duggan, of course, your toboggan and run happy winner. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I was scrambling through my form because I was afraid you're going to ask me about Monmouth, even though I'm in New York. But drafted, nice little spot for this horse to find. I know that David was talking after the last race how he'd like to zig when others are zagging. So I think he did. I think he found himself a respectable spot. Not saying he's going to win the race, but it's about as good a placement job when you consider what's out there. I mean, I don't think he wants any part of Jackie's Warrior in the True North or Life is Good in the John Nay route. So this is a very winnable spot, I would say.
Yeah, a path of lesser resistance goes off as the 11th race. And field of nine, Hollywood Jet, by the way, I should mention, for Carlos Milan, who is in the midst of a 2-year winning streak that goes all the way back to Parks in September of last year. So he has won, I think, 7 in a row now, Hollywood Jet, the uncaptured gelding. And 6-1 you get with Louis Ocasio coming into Oceanport to ride. And you know, we were all celebrating your tweet. In fact, Andy and I really enjoyed a conversation that was promoted when you noted and put the link up to that Holy Bull Metropolitan, Dave, mentioning that was your inauguration, or as I termed it, the beginning of the Dave Grenick era.
Yeah, that was day one of covering New York racing full-time. I had actually been on covering racing 3 years before that, but as far as New York racing is concerned, that was my first day, and got to see Holy Bull win the Met Mile. That was pretty cool. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, in my story, because I got my story from that day, like, hanging up somewhere, I think Sea Hero ran on that same card, like in an allowance race on the grass or something like that, and didn't run any good. But, yeah, that was a cool race. And then the video, the link that I found was also kind of cool. The only thing missing was Harvey, but it was kind of cool that Johnny I was filling in that day. And then when you listen to that call and who was in that race with Devil Is Due and Cherokee Run, he held off Cherokee Run, who like 5 months later won the Breeders' Cup Sprint at Churchill. That was kind of a cool, it was a cool field, a cool day. And that was my inauguration into New York racing.
Well, we actually had some fun. I actually had some fun with Andy later on. He and I were laughing about about what has transpired in the subsequent period of time, and that also included, Dave, we tried to imagine who was in the press box on that first day with you, and then who was in the press box with you later this afternoon.
Yeah, ghosts will be. Right now, our colleague, Mr. Welsh, got into town, so he's in the press box right now, but I know he'll be, I don't know that he'll be partaking of the afternoon fair here. He might have something better to do, like watch paint dry or something else like that. So there won't be anybody else here besides me and the two camera guys. And, back then, I remember I sat at the other, I'm, right now, my, I have a, you know, I have the best seat in the house right now, And even then, I had a very good seat, but it was further down, and I passed many people to get to my seat. Now I just passed many empty chairs to get there.
It'll be busy next week, but on a regular day. No, we don't.
On a regular day, there's nobody here except me, and then Saturday's Bobby Hall from the Blood Horse comes up. I know there was a couple of people here, I guess, from the Blood Horse on Monday for the New York Showcase, because they had that separate magazine that they do for their state bridge. But, today, Friday, yesterday, the Twilight, no, it was just moi.
Just Dave. Well, Dave, we are principally, I mean, we can talk about a couple of things the next few days, but principally the visit is to catch up on how the Derby winner has taken to New York. And he's had to deal with some wet tracks in the morning in terms of just the light work, but he did have that big work the other day between races. So I don't know if really he was going to do anything too serious anyhow. But some thoughts about what we're seeing in here the early first few days of Rich Strike at Belmont.
Well, the thing that impressed me, I guess, even, you know, forgetting the gallops today and yesterday, but Wednesday morning, he got in really late. He got in like around 1 o'clock. It was kind of an odd arrangement with the shipping. You know, they left Churchill at like 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday after the big work on Monday, and he got here, Wednesday morning-ish at 1 o'clock, and Eric Reed decided to take him out just to, give him a little, just to get him out, right? Around 9:30 on the training track, and he basically told the rider, Lagunas, that, just jog him around once, and if you think he wants to go around again, send him around again. And so we passed by Eric, and he nodded to him, and we took him around again. And the horse seems to have an unbelievable amount of energy, because you sit on a van in hot weather for 16 hours, you kind of think you might want to just lay down the next day. And he hasn't. He hasn't missed it. He's been to the track 3 days now, training track on Wednesday, galloped yesterday, wasn't allowed to do anything yesterday. The track was very sloppy. And today, they let him do a little bit more, because if they didn't, he would just, he'd be really rough to handle. And he looked fine getting over the sloppy track. I know Eric Reed, the trainer, is anxious to get him on a dry track, and I don't know if that'll happen tomorrow or Sunday, but it should happen. If we're done with this rain, which I don't recall we were even supposed to get at least this much in the first place, but if we are in fact done with it, I think tomorrow the track will be in good shape, and definitely by Sunday it'll be, the kind of track he wants to train him on.
Well, I'm curious. One thing that he said, that Eric had said in advance of the work the other day, he said he did not expect to work him in New York. Has he said anything else since arriving? Especially if the horse strikes me that if the horse is going to be asking to do a little something to take an edge off, that I won't be surprised if he does a little something with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Thursday morning he kind of blows out through the lane. Maybe it may not even be, like, an official timed workout. Mr. Welsh will be all over it. But, maybe a quarter, from the quarter pole out, 26 or something, and then you take him out 3/8, it could be, like, a 39. I don't think it'll be anything serious, like a 5/8 or anything like that. But I could see him kind of blowing through the lane, blowing out through the lane in about 39, for 3 furlongs.
Well, one of the things that with all the recent or seemingly recent Triple Crown tries, one piece that came to the fore was the need to keep the pedal down and not to baby. And of course, this was germane to Triple Crown runners, and it was something even that Art Sherman acknowledged later, that if he had to do over again with California Chrome, he would have worked him one more time. And you don't want to baby your horse into next Saturday.
You don't, and that's why. Look who's been successful along. I guess we'll go through the time period that I've been doing this. Wayne Lucas and Bob Baffert have been the most successful trainers in the Triple Crown since I've been covering this. And these guys don't baby their horses. They train them, right? They let them roll, and it's proven to be successful for them. So I think they laid the blueprint out for everyone to sort of follow. And instead of babying, you just let them train. This is what they want to do. I mean, they're in the barn 23 hours a day. The hour that they get to exercise and do something, let them do it if they want. How about Doug O'Neill? I mean, he didn't win the Belmont, but those horses that he won the Derby with, they trained. They weren't going no halves in 50s and 52s. They trained.
Exactly. Well,
going back to this horse for a second.
Yeah.
This horse just seems like he's got an abundance of energy. He likes. He seems to thrive on the work and on the activity. He doesn't give them any signs of wanting to do less than they're allowing him to do. If they were to let him do more, maybe he would even like that even better. I'm not sure. So I'll be interested to see how once he gets on a fast track and what they let him do, what he wants to do, and if he's not getting tired, then I don't see why you change your plans. I mean, yeah, you're going a mile and a half, but you know what? The mile and a quarter, he galloped out pretty good too past the wire and going that mile and a quarter, so he basically ran a mile and a half to longer that day off.
Well, the Belmont field has been pretty static. You've been tracking, and I just checked with Dale Romans to see what else he had to say about Howling Time, and he's going to make the decision tomorrow after the work, Dave. But let's get everybody up to speed, maybe those that haven't been paying attention and are just going to wait for Tuesday, but bring everybody up to speed on how this field shaping up.
Okay, so we had a defection of a horse that was briefly under consideration this morning. Brigadier General for Dallas Stewart and West Point, they're not going to go. Probably go to Matt Wynn and in the Or Ohio Derby. So it looks like we're sitting at 10. If we include Howling Time, which I guess we have to leave him in at least one more day and see how he breathes tomorrow. But obviously a Bridge Strike. You got Mo Donegal and Nest for Todd Fletcher. We the People, the Peter Pan winner. Creative Minister, third the Preakness, Skippy Longstocking, fifth in the Preakness. Obviously, all those six horses are here. Golden Glider is here, second in the Peter Pan. Seven horses are here. Barbara Road is in Kentucky. He's supposed to work tomorrow for John Ortiz. And talk about flying under the radar. He is wildly flying under the radar. Ethereal Road for Wayne is going to ship here on Sunday at 9. And then obviously Howling Time off the allowance win at Churchill on the 21st. They'll work tomorrow. They'll make a decision. So I'm looking at 10, barring any sort of UFO that I'm not anticipating, and hopefully no potential withdrawal at this time.
Well, exactly. Should also ask, I mean, in terms of Rudy Brissett, because Brissett had, had others, there were two others that he had, at one point or another, we had considered. And so now, absolutely not interested in running a second starter.
Running either. Yeah, Western River went back to Kentucky shortly, about a week after the Peter Pan, in which he finished fourth. He's going to an allowance race, I believe, at Churchill. I'm not sure when that is. Might be next weekend. And then Kuchar, who had won an off-the-turf allowance race last Sunday, was it? Or the Sunday before? I'm losing track of time. He's going to go to the Ohio Derby. So, yeah, Rudy, okay. Rudolph Brissett will just have the one horse in. So it's looking like 10, and that's including Howling Time. And, again, we'll see what Dale has to say tomorrow. And then if there's anyone else who's thinking about it, those rumors, whispers haven't reached my ears.
Very good. Well, and of course, have, again, much like the conversation in Baltimore when we were dealing with the intrigue of Secret Oath, having Fletcher run another filly in this, that adds a little more pizzazz. I'm sure that's a welcome addition.
Yeah, I'm not sure how she fits, if she fits. She's certainly got the pedigree. Look, they like her around two turns. There's nothing around here, between the Acorn and the Mother Goose, and even maybe a race like the Delaware Oaks. I don't think any of those races interest them. They would have to sit on her until the Coaching Club American Oaks on July 23rd at Saratoga. I don't know that you can't
you can run in this race on June 11th and still make that race on July 23rd. So,
good point.
She's got the pedigree to do it. She's impressed Todd with his with her training. You know, we talked to I talked to him the other day, and he said, "Look, he was thinking about it with Malafat last year, coming out of the Oaks. The difference between Malafat and Nest is Malafat lost weight and kind of backed off the feed, and you know, looked like a horse to him who needed the time." And then with Ness, she doesn't. She's not doing that. She's, you know, she's training well. She's eating well. She doesn't. She hasn't lost the weight that Malafat did. So he's thinking, you know what? I have no reason not to run her. There's really a no lose scenario here for her. If you want, I'm not saying that this is driving the decision, but if you want to get back in the championship boat picture, you know, Secret Oath looks like she's the clear leader right now. You know, a good showing here, maybe pulling off an upset. You know, this also isn't like a stellar, I shouldn't say stellar. This isn't a that difficult a field for her, I don't think. And then you could still run the summer races, the Coaching Club or Alabama or Cotillion. All those races are there for the taking, or are there for her, you know, later in the year.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to getting that confirmation, hopefully, tomorrow. Nice to get Dale. Always fun to have Dale in a big race in New York. That that's certainly a positive. And so we'll see about that. And talked to John Sadler the other morning. The flight line's presence is going to be a big part of the advance work into next Saturday. Dave, we've got the draw on Sunday for the Friday stakes card. Five stakes on Friday, and anybody that you know is coming to the region, get here a little earlier on Friday and come out for Friday's card because it should be excellent. Some thoughts about you know what you're hearing from Andrew Burns and how these two cards are shaping up, and of course we also have the three stakes actually on Thursday, the 2 year olds and the Wonder Again.
Right, those races get drawn tomorrow for Thursday. Friday, you have the New York, which otherwise known as the Chad Brown Invitational with Rogier, Bleecker Street, Virginia Joy leading that group. Family Way is supposed to come for Brenda Walsh. And then we have a few question marks. Lovely Lucky for Albatroni, so that's your five. And then maybe a few question marks. Core Values has been mentioned as a question mark for Vicky Oliver. And Except Temptation, maybe for Albatroni is another one. True North made Friday. He's got Jackie's Warrior in the True North heading that field. He might face another Dale horse, Nighttime. Mighty Baby Yoda, who still hasn't run back to that 114 last summer. Sir Alfred James, who never misses a dance. And the Mighty War Toxin from Uriah St. Louis, another one who doesn't miss many dances. The race that's a little bit light, and I think has Andrew staying up at night is the Bed of Roses. I've got Glass Ceiling and Obligatory, and I don't know what they're going to do with Bella Sophia. I think she was supposed to work today. I think they're going to push that back to tomorrow. There's a chance she runs in here, but that race I think has Andrew a little bit concerned. The Belmont Gold Cup looks like it could be a nice race. You've got Aban, British Royalty, Sibolian, a European horse named Loft, Outbox, another European horse, and then a horse called Original Intent. And then the Intercontinental is a race that looks pretty interesting. Miss J. McKay, Miss May Jarrett, Robin Sparkles, Star Divine, Caravelle, and a new acquisition to the Clement Barn, Lady Edith, who I think went through the auction ring last January, maybe, and was supposed to go to California, but that trainer who she was supposed to go to is no longer training, and wound up with Christophe Clement.
Well, be excited about Tuesday. Is Tuesday gonna? Is the draw gonna be a celebratory kind of a event? I haven't seen plans for Tuesday.
I don't know about that. I think it's gonna be held in the I guess it's called the Triple Crown Lounge, which is basically the second floor sort of horseman's lounge that they sort of built out last year. I believe at 11. I don't know much more than that. I don't know if they're going to draw like any other races there. I was hoping they might draw the Met Mile there too because it has some cachet, but I know it's just primarily the Belmont draw. And then they'll draw the rest of the card later that afternoon, and hopefully by midday the overnight will be out, and later in the day your DRF pass performances will be online.
Now we're talking. Excellent. Well, Dave, this weekend, before we break, some thoughts. Pennine Ridge, group of six, led by the unanimous consent. Marcus was on earlier, and he's headed to New York. Marcus doesn't really understand why there's, you know, why you have to acquiesce to unanimous consent here.
You don't have to, but I tell you, there's two interesting horses in here. One is Elazar for Clement. I did actually was able to find that video of her win in, or his win in Chantilly. I have no idea what he beat because none of those horses have won. I think they're 0-7 combined. But this horse was sort of just lagging in the back of the pack and then made quite the run. But that was last October in a maiden race. Now you're asking the horse to go into a grade two against some more seasoned horses. So I'm not sure what to expect there. I know Christoph was looking for an allowance race, but the only allowance races came up were a mile. So he wanted to go a mile and eighth. But the horse that's interesting to me, and I would really prefer the turf to be firm tomorrow, is Emmanuel. This horse has worked twice on the grass, more than ready. It's a top Fletcher horse, trying to grass after unsuccessfully trying to jump on the Triple Crown trail. But the work I saw on Sunday on the firm turf, he dusted a silly Amo Ray. And I was impressed with that work, and I think Todd was too. But, you know, that was on firm ground. The week before the work, and I didn't see it, I was still down south in Baltimore, seemed not as good as this one. So if the turf is firm and there's not a lot of other speed restraints, I think Emmanuel could be interesting. But I still think they have to be unanimous consent. I mean, this horse, he looks like you have to ride him hard to get in position, but when he decides to run, he takes off and finishes well.
The ninth race tomorrow, the Pennine Ridge, the grade two, and the three-year-olds. Gosh, there's a lot of three-year-old turf races bunched up in a short period of time, including later tonight. You got the Penn Mile. And then on looking ahead to Sunday, I did see a couple of nice maiden races on that card, and then no stake on Sunday, but actually a decent looking card for Sunday with a big week of racing ahead. Dave, looking forward to seeing you. Looking forward to some lunches at the King.
Yeah, I prepped the other day. I think it was Wednesday. I had a little prep at the King, trying to, you know, get a jump on my Southern Florida and Southern California invaders. So I need to be ready when they come to town. So I jumped there. I might have to make, you know, Mr. Welsh made a good point to me. He said, since I went there Wednesday and the Rangers won that night, I might have to go back today and keep the streak going.
Oh, that's true, right? We're gonna have the moot between you and Mig. We'll be able to know if people don't watch the Rangers game, all they'll have to do is see Dave and Mig the next morning to know how the game turned out.
I've been walking around in a bit of a shock. I'm trying to resist the temptation to really get excited, but they make it hard because they're playing so well. The last two games
have been
lights out for them, so hopefully they can keep it going.
All right, get lucky. Dave Grenig, I appreciate it. I will see you as early as Sunday.
All right, boss. Take care.
Dave Grenig, everybody. DRF Grenig. And the Dave Grenig era continues in New York. We've got Hammer joining us, and we'll have the window actually perfect just to take in the Oaks, which is about a minute and change away. Let's glance at the tote board. And boy, Kev's Push, Long Shot Lad, Kev Humphreys, Tranquil Lady, the Joseph O'Brien is 17-1 right now. Nashua for Gosden. And Holly Doyle, 5-1 on Nashua, and 3-5. Emily Upjohn just getting hammered in the Oaks betting. And Hammer joins us. Speaking of getting hammered, Rick Hammerly adds to the excitement here. Rick, we're about less than a minute from the start of the Kazoo Epsom Oaks. Good morning.
Well, that's great. Let's rock. Good morning to you, Steve, and everybody else. Part of the Jubilee celebration over there, right, across the pond?
Yes, the queen, and yes, I didn't see any of yesterday's activities. I'm hoping somebody will send me a tin of the corgi shaped biscuits. That's when there's corgi cookies, not cookies for corgis, but cookies that are made up to look like the queen's corgis. That's one of the big items for those looking for souvenirs of the Jubilee.
Check eBay. They're probably already on there. They're probably already.
well, they say that the big collectible is actually the Barbie doll of the Queen. The thing they sold it out apparently in 3 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that the big thing would be the pictures of the little 4-year-old making all the faces. That was some classic stuff.
it is quite amazing. I mean, 70 years. Not everybody's a fan of the monarchy, but certainly those of us in racing, it's hard not to appreciate her love of the game. She really enjoys, and it's been a part of her interest in life for the breadth of her regime.
Gina was just reading that Rain. To me. She goes, "Oh, the Epsom." I go, "What are you talking about? How do you know about that?" She goes, "Oh, the Queen's go blah blah blah." And we have some good friends that I thought they were just going to England, and we're going for the Jubilee and da da da. And so we start looking it up. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty wild. I mean, it's a big thing. Good 70 years. Think about that. Think if we had a president in office for 70 years. I don't want to go there, but wow, pretty wild. But anyway, back here in sunny Southern California, it's a far cry from old England, but it's nice to be home for a little bit anyway.
Well, we're going to talk about your next big, you'll be with us in New York next week, but we'll talk about the next assignment in a minute. Although, I tell you what, you want to talk about post-time drag, which is a North American complaint. They're already 2 minutes behind, and they're not even assembling really behind the gate. They're kind of milling about here, and it's post-time.
So they've caught on.
I guess.
They've caught on to our tricks, I guess. I'll have to put it on here, but as we stall around for that. But I do need to let you know that I'm officially registered with HISA, so I'm legal. I'm good. Come July 1st, I'll be able to do what I need to do. So I didn't realize that I would have somebody. I got two or three emails from people in the business that, hey, you got to register. I said, what are you talking about? And so I read the fine print that anybody that basically in the game that has access to horses has to register. So I went on, and I'm in. I'm on file. They're probably watching me right now.
Well, we had a session with Joe Applebaum yesterday and laid out everything, and I put the links up and the helpful resources for people, the Q&A at the TDN, and I actually did it while we were online with Joe, on the line with him yesterday. The thing that impressed me was when I put in my New York license, up popped a screen the next page, and it acknowledged all the other places where I've been licensed, even ones where, like Illinois, where I haven't had a renewal in ages, from when we actually got our first win as a stable at Arlington. But I was impressed that it showed all 8 jurisdictions where I'd had a license, Rick. They obviously they're trying hard, and I know that there's been a hiccup or two in this process, but looks like. Well, listen, the train's going to leave the station, so they've got however much longer, 4 weeks really, to dot any other I's and T's, and I'm sure there'll be some things that that go awry even once they get started. But
you can't do something of this magnitude and not have a few hiccups,
right?
So that, and so you got to give them a little bit of a break to get this thing going. you know, there's going to be a lot of people still probably don't even know, trainers, owners, that you literally do have to sign up and sign up all your horses under your care as well. So that'll take a while, and hopefully there's a little bit more communication that goes back and forth, and we'll start with that, and then we'll see what happens. You know, pretty crazy.
They're in the process. One thing that's going to help them, they're apparently in the process of hiring a communications director officer, which they haven't had, which has been a problem. Here we go. The Oaks.
A slow start, an awkward start for Emily Upjohn, and Frankie Dettori trails the field in the first furlong. Going forward is Tranquil Lady with the Moonlight and Thoughts of June, the grey filly. Munda Vega is close up in fourth, followed by Rogue Millennium. Concert Hall is back in about sixth place a little keenly from Nashua. Emily Upjohn recovering on the outside of Kawida as they continue their journey up the hill. The Algarve is at the back of the field, probably second last is Tuesday in the dark blue jacket, but racing across to the inside running rail now. Thoughts of June on the outside of With the Moonlight. Thoughts of June and Wayne Lawden with the Midnight. With the Moonlight, William Buick now just slotting into second, taken to the outside. Cruel Lady is close up in third, then Munda Vega, Rogue Millennium, Concert Hall behind these from Kawida, and then on the inside, green jacketed Nashua. Emily Upjohn is still well back with Tuesday on her inside, and finally the Algarve continuing to climb now as they head towards the final seven furlongs in this Phillies Classic. And it's Thoughts of June that takes them along from With the Moonlight on the outside of Tranquil Lady. Back in fourth is Munda Vega, Rogue Millennium on the inside in fifth place, followed then back in the field to Concert Hall in the purple and white, Nashua, Kawida, and then Tuesday, Emily Upjohn and the Algarve. On the tumble down now towards Tattenham Corner as they race for the final six furlongs, and up front still Thoughts of June from With the Moonlight in second place. On the inside, Tranquil Lady, followed by Munda Vega, Rogue Millennium, then Concert Hall, Nashua just hunting them up, followed by Kawida, then Tuesday, Emily Upjohn and the Algarve as they now round Tattenham Corner. And Thoughts of June by a length and a half is going to lead them into the home straight here on Epsom Downs, followed by With the Moonlight in second. Tranquil Lady is third. Munda Vega, Rogue Millennium, all with big chances. Concert Hall, Nashua in behind them. Then Tuesday in the dark blue jacket. Coming very wide is Emily Upjohn, the favourite, beginning her run on the extreme left, followed by Kawida, an open looking race. Tuesday coming through on the right, down the centre, Rogue Millennium. Millennium coming through is Nashua. On the left is Emily Upjohn. They head towards the final furlong. Tuesday leads the way. Emily Upjohn now storming home down the near side under Frankie Dettori after a very bad start. Tuesday from Emily Upjohn. Then Nashua back in third inside the final 100. Tuesday, Emily Upjohn getting close. It's tight, Tuesday. Tuesday has probably just won it. Emily Upjohn on the near side. It got very close indeed. Nashua back in third. Kawida and Tranquil Lady fighting it out for fourth.
What a spectacular race.
Wow. Considering, boy, this is actually really close. Oh, my gosh. Emily Upjohn, Rick, were you watching? Emily Upjohn put her nose in front just before the wire, but I think that O'Brien and Ryan Moore with the Galileo filly for Coolmore then gets her nose down.
I was looking on RTN. I couldn't find it, so I did not. I missed it. It's on TVG.
Oh, well, I'm watching. I'm just watching on my Naira Betts feed. But this photo is much closer. I tell you, for him to make that race call and say Tuesday live was pretty daring.
Who did he call?
In slow motion.
Which one?
He calls Tuesday. He's calling it Tuesday.
What number?
10-2-5-3. The 10. 10-2-5-3. To the inside. But Emily Upjohn absolutely gets her nose in front just before the wire. But as I said, Tuesday put her nose down, I think, on the line. Unbelievable finish in here. Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah, don't look at this photo for a while. Just saw the finish. You're right. I'd have to give it to the inside. But
wow.
That's a ballsy call live.
It really is. And Tuesday did get the nod. There it is, 10-2-5. And actually, the one, I guess, Concert Hall picks off the bottom rung. So Tuesday, Emily Upjohn, Nashua. That was a gallant effort from DeTore and the Gosden trainee, Emily Upjohn, to see the Stars filly, because she was mired early after a bad start. So that was exciting. Terrific. All right. Let's turn away from Epsom and Tattenham Corner and all the other pageantry. And I love on the UK feed how they just ran, you know, the biggest filly race of the year. And then literally 30 seconds later, they're showing some race from Huntingdon. they're showing some, you know, some 7,500 pound nothing race from Huntingdon. They cut away from the feature. Makes me laugh every time. Hammer, we got a few things to talk about, but I'm sure that you're excited to flesh out the unbelievable Kentucky Downs season already that was announced yesterday.
Yeah, there's not too many meets that you want to talk about 3 months in advance, to tell you the truth. As we look at the calendar, it's literally 3 months. It's unbelievable coming up quick. But, I guess the official announcement came out with the stake schedule and the purses. And a couple things. Kentucky Downs is going to have 7 days this year. That's the longest meet. It's going to go from September 1st to the 14th. And we'll race on the Thursday, the 1st, and then the 3rd and the 4th, and then another Thursday, the 8th, and then the 10th and 11th, Saturday, Sunday, and end up on Wednesday, the 14th. So 7 days in there, the longest meet, and I think we've gone up a day a year since two years ago. So we went 5, and then last year was 6, and this year was 7. And it's hard to turn down when you apply for a couple extra days at that meet where we're giving away literally $2 million a day. And, it's fantastic. There's going to be 18 stakes, 8 of them graded. The maiden races, which is kind of what we're highlighting, $150,000 purse for maiden races. And let it be known, the condition book will be out soon. I think it's literally at the printer. I will have a few to bring to Belmont with me to pass out. But when you see that book, when the trainers see that book, there'll be a lot of them. It's not like, oh, we've got two or three at 150. No, there's a lot of maiden races. That's what we're pushing. So the trainers will start, you know, when you, those that like to come, save your maidens, and you'll be able to run them there. So like I said, 18 stakes, 8 of them graded. The big weekend will be the 10th and 11th, with Saturday the 10th having the big five-state marathon with the two winning your in Breeders' Cup races, the Turf Cup going a mile and a half, and the FanDuel Turf Sprint, which has turned into be the best turf sprint in the country, at $1 million going three quarters. So that'll highlight that. We're bringing back our super contest, the Kentucky Downs Turf Handicapping Challenge, which is a 3-day event, and you add up your scores in all three contests, and the winner becomes the king of the turf and gets a little, you know, wrestling style belt and acknowledgement as the best turf handicapper in the country. So a little different. I mean, the style is going to be the same, the layout's going to be the same, but it's going to be split up a little bit this year. I think last year we did three consecutive race days. This year, for those thinking about it, it's going to be on the race contest will be on the 1st, which is the first day of racing, the 4th, which is a Sunday, it's the third day of racing, and then it'll end on the 11th, which is a Sunday, the sixth day of racing. So the 1st, 4th, and 11th will contest the 3 days of the Turf Challenge. So excited about that. Low takeout, high purses. And like I said, it's hard to get excited about a meet 3 months in advance, but really am. That, you know, the new owners there, the Winchells, and Mr. Falcone done a great job of upgrading as the racing's gone up. So the facility is starting to, you know, take hold. We got that new permanent grandstand, indoor type grandstand. Clubhouse area where we can serve lunch in there. We're building a new barn to take some of the stress off of the comings and goings. And for those that don't know, we don't have a whole lot of stall space, a few hundred stalls. And when horses come to run there, they basically just rent the space. They come, we're happy to see them, they run their race, and guess what? They got to leave because the next group has to come in to run. So it's there's room for 80 horses that stay there. Some of the guys that run a lot of horses get a few stalls there, but basically it's an in and out meet. It's the craziest thing. On the night before opening day, there's 20 horses on the grounds, literally the night before, and then 10 o'clock midnight the vans start backing up, and here they come in, and then all of a sudden it's full by race time, and then it's, hey, thanks for coming, see ya. And the next group comes in. So, it's got to be a well orchestrated machine, which it is. But we are building a new barn and upgrading the backside little by little. And the turf course that we put in, redid last year, the last three quarters of the course will now be on its second year and be settled. And it's a super meet, as you can attest. You know, you were there for, 4 or 5 days last year, and we'll be again this year. So anybody that's a racing fan, that's close, that hasn't been there, wants to see something totally unique, put it on your schedule, September 1st through the 14th, Kentucky Downs in Franklin, Kentucky.
It's tremendous. And, one thing I forgot to ask you on a follow-up from last year, about given with 90 days or however, what are we looking at? How far? Yeah, we got June, July, August. Yeah, 90 days. The idea of having musicians come up from Nashville, aspiring musicians, and play the calls to the post.
Well, we started out with I said. let's do something different here. So, we gave away surfboards here at Santa Anita when I was here. I said, why don't we give away guitars here? We're
guitars,
near Nashville.
Yeah, you know, that worked.
Right. So we started with a guitar. And then last year we gave away, I think, every graded winner got a guitar. And they're all signed by, country music stars. And we'd have a little bit more presence now of the Nashville area coming up. And like you said, the other musicians, being involved in the day-to-day, in the day's races. So just trying to connect Nashville is literally a half hour south. The Kentucky Downs is just across the border from Tennessee. And, literally, that was called the Dueling Grounds. That was the first name of the track when it was built, 30-some years ago. And it was called the Dueling Grounds because that was the Dueling Grounds. Back in the day when duels happened, I think in the early 1800s, if I wanted to challenge you to a duel and we were in Tennessee, duels weren't legal in Tennessee. So you had to go north across the border to Kentucky and have your duel in Kentucky. And then, the winner would go celebrate and the loser would, spend the rest of his days there up there. And if you look at the map, it's really interesting. If you look closely at the map, it's not a straight line. There's a little dip there that actually allows you to get to Kentucky a little earlier to go up and do your duel. So it went from Dueling Grounds, and now, of course, it's named Kentucky Downs. But it's very close to the country music capital of the world, Nashville, and so we're taking advantage of that situation. And we've had great response.
Well, for those that come, and because of the way the meet is spread out, if you come to the area and you can stay in Nashville, you can stay in Bowling Green, you can stay in Louisville, or Lexington, and make your way down each day, and tons of people do it that way, just like the horses that get shipped in. But there's quite a bit of historic reference and so forth. There's that Sanford Duncan Inn, which was a stagecoach. You'll see a house that is just maybe 1,000 yards ahead of the off the highway, ahead of the racetrack, and this known as the Sanford Duncan Inn, and it was a stagecoach station, and the actual dueling grounds were right there, and the most famous duel, the duel that is most recognized is Sam Houston, from Tennessee, wounded. I'm going to forget who he wounded, but Sam Houston in a duel, and it was over. You know, it was over a political appointment. But there's a ton of history, and I really enjoyed. I went up to Bowling Green, which motivated by Duncan Hines. Actually, Duncan Hines was from Bowling Green, so I got to go. see the exhibit, Duncan Hines. That was a big deal for me. And there's a great train depot. I mean, there's tons of things to do in addition to the time you spend at the racetrack.
Yes, and then as we get closer, we'll peel them off. You got the Corvette Museum in Bowling Green.
That's right.
You got the cave, the Mammoth Caves. You got the Bourbon Trails close. Oh, I mean, who knew, right? Who knew? Because believe me, when you go there and you race every third or fourth day, you do have to find stuff to do, and it's a lot easier than I thought. And as a backup, you can always head south and go to Nashville and enjoy yourself there. So anyway, we're 3 months out, but really you need to put this stuff on the calendar now and start making some reservations.
Because
what does happen
plans.
if you're staying in town in Franklin. Or near Franklin, you know, stuff goes quick. Your hotels go quick, just like anywhere nowadays. And, you know, the longer out you make them, the least expensive. I'm not going to say cheaper because none of them are cheaper anymore. But they're least expensive if you get them now. And even a Nashville stay is the way to go. It's up and down. You can get an Uber. It'll take you up and down, too, if you want to, you know, take that route. So, you know, kind of excited to get going. I've had a lot of calls and trying to get things going. And like I said, the condition book literally is at the printer. I got the word this morning, having some shipped back to New York. And so a lucky few will have that in their hands when we go back for New York, which I've been home for almost a month, kind of getting the honeydews out of the way, hanging pictures and, you know, all that stuff. And now we're starting to get ready to plan the summer jaunt, and we're starting it out with a trip back to Belmont, which we missed last 2 years, right? Just because of the COVID situation. So excited to get back to New York and do that number and kick off the summer, really.
Excellent. Hammer, got about 5 minutes. A couple of other news and notes that you've accrued since last week.
Well, we didn't. Last week we had a quick ride. I know we have a Pizza Bianca win at Pimlico, kind of snuck in and found an easy spot to take a little prep there. As Hottie is doing on tonight, actually, kind of the same deal. And so Pizza Bianca is, of course, the Breeders' Cup winner, is headed to Ascot. And for a fun time, I will miss that trip. I like to be in Boulder, Colorado at a Dead and Company show, but I heard some noise about, oh, she doesn't belong, she doesn't have the figures. Listen, I mean, I'm just telling you, it's more about just going on the trip and being there. I mean, the horse won the Breeders' Cup, you know, Bobby Slay of Brennett owns it, and he likes to have fun. I've been lucky enough to be on a few jaunts here and there with the crew, and this was talked about almost as soon as the horse crossed the wire at Del Mar, and lo and behold, she's ready, she's going, and you know what, if the horse, if she ends up winning, it's gravy. You know, he bred the horse, who knows what that mare would be worth then, but it's a trip, and like I said, I wish I was going, but I'm going somewhere else, but that's what these horses can do for you. You know, you need to have a little fun along the way, and that's what this is all about. And if she happens to, you know, run a great race and win, and all the better. But it's kind of a cool way to go. You know, let's go to Ascot and do that. So I was happy to see that. And like I said, I kind of thought of her when I saw Hottie and tonight at the Penn Oaks in a smallish field. And of course, she ran third to Pizza Bianca in the Breeders' Cup, making her kind of an easy way back, and she's probably going to, you know, head to that the three races they have there in New York, which why not? What else we got? Just a couple of things. You know, you had JJ Gracie on, and then you had Gus on this morning. I'd say it was great hearing back, hearing those voices again, especially JJ, who, as you explained, you know, with Steve Bick before Steve Bick for a few years there. And we had a lot of fun. Just listening to that voice was crazy. JJ's a little, you know, we've come from the same mold a little bit. He's a little crazy and doing a little wild things, but he was assigned from John Parada from the first days when John got the time, 15 hours a week, and it was like, you got to fill it up. And you know, that's when I got the call. Hey, you need filler. You're filler. You got an hour. You got to fill it up. I don't care what you do. And it's like, what? And so we got 14 hours of East Coast, and I was the only West Coast. Everything was East Coast then, and I got an hour of me. It was the last hour, and so we had a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, we did a lot of ad-libbing and you know, just on the spot, on the moment. That's where the impromptu, you know, guests came from. Remember, we used to be sitting in my office and, wait a minute, there goes, you know, Michael McCarthy. Go grab him. And I would go grab the guy and sit him down, and they had no idea who they were talking to at that point. And, but we, you know, we had a long time. Let me tell you, woo! You know, you just had to go. And JJ was great at that, and, you know, ad-libbing, hey, I'm going to get this guy on, or that guy, or this girl, and we had a lot of fun keeping it going, and then of course you took over, and the show, you know, took off. But it was great to hear his voice on. I'd like to get the three of us together on, and we could tell a few stories about some of the stuff we used to do back then. But good to hear that. Just listen to Dave. Go over the 10 probables. Going to be an interesting day. The day is always full of, you know, good horses and good racing. You know, interestingly enough, in the first 2 days, the first two Triple Crown days, I want to call Friday, Saturday at Churchill, and then Friday, Saturday, both at Pimlico, or you know, two big days of racing, always have been. But the lack of participation from the California side is almost unprecedented. Horse trainer or jockey has basically gone 0-54. Haven't won a race on the two Triple Crown big days. And I went back, you know, 10, 15 years, and at least had one win, and usually multiple wins on both of those days. So we'll see if we can get some West Coast power out there for the third leg. But ready to come back for that. Good to see you. You know, see you again, and see some of the East Coast people I haven't seen in a while, and kind of start off the summer. So summer's here, and the time is right for fighting in the street, as they say, right? So
Dancing
well,
in the street.
Yeah, I had a different version.
I guess. That's pretty funny. Hammer, I will look forward to renewing one of the great traditions, Jimmy and Hammer on the track apron at Belmont Park next week.
Yeah, but I just got off the phone just to double check that the itinerary is set. It's same old deal. So we'll definitely see you Friday morning, and you know, enjoy the races, everyone, and get out there this weekend and show up at the races. And
exactly.
That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Well, Hammer, I appreciate it. We'll see you and talk next week. Everybody, we'll send you out into the race weekend, the big stakes cards coming up soon, Belterra, Best of Ohio, and then later tonight, Penn National. And I think with good weather, we'll maybe get that pick four laid out for you. And then tomorrow, probably a lot of Churchill and the cross-country pick five. There is, I should note, there's a Monmouth, I see Nick Tamaro mentioned, there is a pick five carryover, 34,000 at Monmouth. It's the early pick five today. So a little early opportunity. The first half of a card today, Monmouth, take a look. And we will talk to you Monday from beautiful Belmont Park. Thanks, everybody. Good luck this weekend.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, tiny-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorsed the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.